Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR, and hope you had a great weekend. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Back for another week.
Ed Battagliano is off this week, so he will not be with us. And I guess he'll be here on Friday. We'll have live trivia Friday, so he had to come back for that. So we'll see him on Friday. But otherwise, he's taking this week off, and I don't know what he's
doing. He's taking vacation.
Yeah. Does he garden or?
I don't ask him. I don't query him on his vacations.
Okay. That's probably a good policy. Good policy to have. All right. So much to talk about today. Walker, folks want to follow us on the internet, what do they need to do?
Yes, they can go to our website, afr.net, and get the podcast there. And not just the podcast, but you can listen live. And then we're also on social media, Facebook and YouTube.
For
just
now.
We're on Facebook for now. Just type in the name of the show, Today's Issues, and you can watch the show and listen there.
Folks, I hope this doesn't happen, but you may have been following this. This kind of is one of the stories in the news, Fred, before we jump into your... Well, I tell you what, let's tell folks the breaking news, and then we can come back and revisit this social media war against conservatives. But anyway, what happened to the Supreme Court?
Breaking news, as we've been talking about, Supreme Court issuing a group of decisions before they leave for the summer. But another major one this morning. This morning, the Supreme Court struck down a Louisiana law regulating abortion clinics. And basically, it had to do similar to some other laws that have been struck down, and that is that a doctor who performs abortion in a state must have visiting privileges at the local hospitals. And this Louisiana abortion clinic law has made its way through the courts. A lower court struck it down initially. An appeals court went against that decision. It ends up before the United States Supreme Court this morning in a 5-4 decision with Chief Justice John Roberts this time going with the four liberal judges. They struck down the Louisiana law. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that in a decision in 2016 on a similar law out of Texas, Judge Roberts at the time, Justice Roberts, voted to uphold the Texas law. In that case, he went with the conservatives, who were outnumbered by the liberals. So you may ask, well, how is it in 2016 he upholds the Texas law, almost identical to Louisiana? Today, he strikes down the Louisiana law. What's going on here? And the reason he gives is, well, we follow precedent law in this court. In other words, back in 2016, this court struck down the Texas law. Therefore, I have to go with precedent today, and I will vote with the liberals and strike down the Louisiana law.
Just to review for people who don't know what this is exactly, Walker, you have because of Roe versus Wade, you can't outlaw abortion outright in states. So, but states are allowed to regulate abortion facilities for various reasons, health reasons, namely, and you know, those kinds of things. So in this case, you had an abortion. If you're going to do an abortion, I don't know how many abortion clinics are in Louisiana, but if you're going to do an abortion, the quote doctor, I use that term loosely, who murders the unborn baby, and then what Louisiana is saying was, in case there's a problem, with an abortion, that that doctor who does the abortion has to be a licensed to, or has to be able to get admitting privileges, that is, privileges to do his work, be licensed at the local hospital. Is that right?
That's correct.
I kind of butchered that.
Yeah, admitting privileges are very, very common amongst physicians who practice doing any type of procedures, especially invasive ones. So, the legislature was trying to get doctors to have admitting, people who kill babies for a living, trying to get them to have admitting privileges so that if the abortion goes wrong and the baby survives or the mom has issues, that they could take her to the hospital and have her treated. But the Supreme Court here struck that down. So basically, you've got doctors who don't have to have admitting privileges, and
so they can basically be third-rate doctors, which most abortionists
are. They could not only kill the baby, but have the mother in trouble and not have admitting privileges. So you go up to the emergency room, and, which doctor did this? Well, Dr. So-and-so, he's not registered here. He didn't have admitting privileges. Yeah. So it's a huge blow. Really a huge blow to the 10th Amendment, to the fact that states should be able to run themselves. This is a huge blow to the 10th Amendment.
Yeah, well, Roberts flipped.
He did.
He's flipped. He's gone liberal for the most part. He may be considered a swing vote, and maybe he is on some issues, but on the big ones, he's gone liberal. And he started out as a conservative. He was appointed by President Bush.
Yeah, Roberts has no hard ideology, no philosophy, no consistent judicial philosophy. He seems to be going wherever the culture goes.
Well, he said Obamacare was a tax.
Right.
Even though President Obama said it's not a tax, he got creative with that, and that allowed Obamacare to take over. It was because of Roberts. Roberts said it was a tax.
At this point, right, the only thing to avoid judicial tyranny, which we're operating under judicial tyranny now, where the Supreme Court is the end-all, be-all, no matter what, no matter their justification or whatever, the only thing now is for governors, and the Louisiana governor won't do this, he's a Democrat, but the only thing now is for governors to say, thank you for the opinion, we appreciate it, but we're going to operate under state law. And if the voters don't like state law, then they can change their representatives or have a ballot initiative to pass an ordinance or a law.
There are problems with what you've just said, Brian Fisher, little Brian.
Do the cons outweigh the pros, though?
Huh?
I think the positives to that outweigh the negatives.
Yeah, I know there are people that listening to us who go, oh yeah, Tim, what are they? Okay. I don't want to get into this too much. This would be a good conversation to have.
Yeah.
With Abe, maybe Brian or somebody. But you do have to have law and order, and so you do have to follow the law, and or either you have a complete breakdown of society. But there is a balance there, because I don't know, because you have to push back at some point against the judicial tyranny.
At what point, who upholds the 10th Amendment?
I know, but if they did something like that, then the federal marshals would come arrest the governor of that state and say, you can't, or I don't know if they go to that extent, but basically they would punish that state for not obeying the Supreme Court's edict. My thing is, if you're not going to abide by what the Supreme Court decides, then don't even take it to the Supreme Court to begin with, because you've already decided that you're not going to obey what the court says. You see my point?
Right.
Anyway, we can talk about this later.
Yeah,
I'm not a liberal, people. Please,
I don't think you need to ignore judicial rulings just because you don't like them all the time, because that would undermine the judicial system.
But you're saying there comes a time where you have to take a stand.
Yeah. Who upholds the 10th Amendment
of the Constitution?
If the states don't.
Yeah. All right, well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So a disappointing ruling today announced by the United States Supreme Court. Roberts was, of course, you got the four hardcore liberals, and you've got the four conservatives. Gorsuch is still considered a conservative by most people, even though he ruled wrong on the Bostick case a couple weeks ago. But Roberts has become the Anthony Kennedy. I don't know why this happens, Fred, but Supreme Court justices who are confirmed as solid conservatives, if they drift one way or another, they always drift left.
Yeah.
You don't see a liberal Supreme Court justice appointed and then they start drifting right.
That's
you ever noticed that never happens? I don't know.
Well, the example a week ago, Justice Gorsuch.
That's what. Yeah, I know.
Writing the opinion.
Yeah.
Giving rights to transgenders, transsexuals. You know.
Well, saying that homosexuals and transgendered were supposed to be part of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which mentioned you can't discriminate on the basis of sex, which everybody in the world knows meant male, female.
Right.
And somehow Gorsuch and the four liberals say, no, it means a man who thinks he's a woman. Anyway. All right. So go ahead,
yep.
Fred.
There are some decent justices out there and judges. U.S. District Court Judge Gary L. Sharp appears to be one of them. He ruled in the case of the way that COVID restrictions were being issued by Democrat-controlled New York, both the governor and the mayor of New York, de Blasio. And this, what happened there is they put restrictions on church and synagogue meetings that they didn't apply to other gatherings or, by the way, to Black Lives Matter protests. And this judge said, you can't do that. You can't tell churches and synagogues you can only have 25% of capacity, but other groups down the street, they can go up to 50%. And this judge even said, and listen to this.
This is a federal judge.
This is a U.S. District Court judge.
Yeah, federal judge.
Yes.
This is good. This is a good ruling.
This is really good. He said Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio could have just as easily discouraged protest, short of condemning their message, in the name of public health, and exercise discretion to suspend enforcement for public safety reasons instead of encouraging what they knew was a flagrant disregard of the outdoor limits and social distancing rules.
I want to high five that federal judge.
Yeah, he's pointing his finger at them.
Right.
And
pointing out an obvious double standard.
Obvious double standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they got told.
Yeah, and this happened Friday.
This happened
Friday. The governor and the mayor in New York were discriminating against religious people.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
And they were saying, you have to follow these rules and regulations. But guess what? If you're a march for Black Lives Matter, you don't have to obey these.
No.
And this federal judge said, you can't do that.
You cannot do that.
You can't do well. Good. And Matt Staber's group won that one, didn't he? Wasn't that Liberty Counsel?
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah.
We want to give credit to our brothers who are in the legal profession, who do pro bono or free work to defend religious liberty. I think that was Matt Staver's case right there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I wanted to talk, and maybe just briefly, about this, what I mentioned at the top of the broadcast with Facebook.
Mm.
You may not be aware of this story, folks, but, okay, Facebook has been under enormous pressure by the left. Now, Facebook is the left.
Yes.
Okay, so this is left versus left. Okay, the political left in this country has been pressuring Facebook because they want Facebook to eliminate hate speech on their platform. Do you call it a platform?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, thus far, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook has said, and they also want, the left also wants him to, and Facebook to disallow President Trump to have advertising.
Yes.
Okay, because that is hate speech to them.
According to them.
And it's disinformation to them, according to them, to the left. So, thus far, Mark Zuckerberg has refused, to his credit, he's refused to yield to this and to give in to this. Well, now they've ramped it up. By they mean the left wing social pressure groups. They've been targeting. They've been going after big corporations who advertise on Facebook, like Coke, Pepsi. They're there's a bunch of them, and these are household names. Mm-hmm. So they want to force Facebook, what they're asking Facebook to do, demanding that they do, is basically, Walker and Fred, correct me if I'm wrong here, if you interpret this different, but they basically are saying you need to not allow for hate speech on your platform. Well, now, then that begs the question, what is hate speech mm-hmm. from the left? Well, I'll tell you what hate speech is from the left. It's anything conservative.
Yes.
mm-hmm. And in particular, anything Christian conservative, mm-hmm. like what we're doing right here, right now. This
right.
just us being on the air that and voicing a message that would be in any way critical of, let's say, the LGBTQ or the Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm. which, as we've always often mentioned here, Black lives matter to God and should matter to us. All lives matter to God. But the Black Lives Matter organization, with capital letters, we are opposed to mm-hmm. because they're Marxist.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, among other things. So, Walker, Facebook has been losing a lot of value in their stock the last week or so because mm-hmm. of these advertisers trying to pressure them into making this move. But don't you think ultimately, Walker, I don't know, I want to ask you two things, mm-hmm. and Fred can answer this too. Do you think Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg will stand firm, or do you think, and don't you think that they will, Facebook and then the other big social media, they will ban, they'll go after conservative groups, and it's not just going to be groups like ours. They would shut down Fox News from their platforms. They will shut down. They will come after anybody and everybody mm-hmm. who doesn't subscribe completely with the woke movement.
Right. Yeah, they've already been, Facebook's already been horrible about free speech.
Right, they're left already.
Yeah, they're already to the left. And but there's this push to basically make Facebook an extension of the Democrat Party. And
yes.
What they want to do is basically shut out all speech that contradicts the Democrat narrative
yes.
or the left-wing narrative. So Facebook is not fully towing the line on being a totalitarian company when it comes to the First Amendment. And so people on the left are upset about that. Of course, it's never enough. And I think at some point, I mean, Facebook will have no choice but to cave to the pressure. Why
will they have no choice?
Well, because that's the party that's the crowd they hang out with. Facebook is a big tech company in Silicon Valley.
The Facebook employees YouTube. Already believe this way anyway.
Yes.
Right.
But they are a publicly traded company, so they do have to answer to their stockholders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, their stockholders are not all crazy lefties. They do like money.
Right.
But these big corporations now are boycotting them, causing them to lose stock value. So you're saying by no choice, you're going to be saying Zuckerberg is going to have to say, and the stockholders are going to have to cry uncle
yeah.
because they got their arm behind their back, and Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all these companies
mm-hmm.
who themselves have been taken over in their marketing and HR departments by far left.
Facebook has legitimized the narrative that anything other than the left-wing speech is quote hate speech.
Yes.
Facebook has legitimized that narrative by censoring people, by censoring the president.
The shadow banning.
Shadow banning and all kind of stuff. So, yeah, they put themselves in a corner.
Folks have to understand the mainstream news media, social platforms, have all come to this point. They have their left-wing bias. They used to try to hide it, coach it somehow. But they have come to the point where they believe that they are agents of change. They want to change this country just like capital Black Lives Matter.
Right.
They are socialists. They hate what Donald Trump stands for, which is capitalism.
And the people who vote for him.
And the people who vote for him.
It's not just about running a business anymore.
No, no. Understand this. They are out to transform this country. And the way you do it is control the message. And the way to control the conservative message basically is take away all the platforms. So that's what's going on here.
Yeah. That your point ties in well with the YouTube But we played a video, an audio here back right after the election in January of 2017 from Google had their weekly meeting with all their staff. And I don't know if y'all remember this, but basically the employees were complaining to Google leadership saying, we didn't do enough basically to help Hillary Clinton win.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do enough to squash Donald Trump.
Right. Yes. No.
And so the Google CEO and all the leadership said, you're right, we're going to do more.
Yeah.
So that's the narrative, is they've got to intervene to save America.
Yes.
From Donald Trump.
And be very careful, folks. You will see the phrase fact checking going on out there. That's a joke. That is an absolute joke.
Right.
When they say fact checking, they're saying we're going to dump on everything that Donald Trump and the Trump administration says.
Yeah.
But we're not. They're not fact checking Joe Biden.
Right.
They're not.
Right.
They're not fact checking Nancy Pelosi. That's just garbage.
Yeah.
They're Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. They're allowed to say anything that they want.
Yeah. Folks, this what's going on here, and if you listen to American Family Radio, you know you're informed, you're educated about what's going on here. But this goes way beyond their hatred for President Trump. Even though he's just the main one that represents a thought process that challenges the far left. All right, and the woke crowd, and he's the first one they want to bring down in November.
Mm-hmm.
They want to bring down Donald Trump, and then they can escalate their war on conservatives and Christians by using the executive branch of the federal government,
yep,
in particular, and corporate America has been taken over. Either corporate America has been taken over themselves by the far left, who now control their marketing, their human rights, it's not human rights, human resources departments and things. In other words, these people, the corporate executives, may not agree with the far left message, but they're pressured internally and externally by groups to promote the far left agenda. That's why these corporations, these big name corporations, are putting pressure on Facebook now. So
yep.
they've been taken over
mm-hmm.
by the crowd. Where this ultimately ends up remains to be seen. But I do know that history shows that if you can dehumanize people, then you can do anything you want to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the lesson of history. That's the reason we had slavery around the world, including in the United States, is because the people that are enslaved, be they the Hebrew children or African Americans in the U.S., are people still enslave people around the world today. But what you do is you dehumanize them, right? So what the far left is wanting to do, and they're being successful to a degree, they're wanting to dehumanize people who don't agree with them.
Yep.
That's why you'll hear them refer to President Trump as Hitler.
Yep.
Well, if you vote for Hitler, you're a Nazi. If you're a Nazi, you're worthy of death, or at least purging, or at least being canceled.
Yeah.
So that's the way these far left people think. They think that we are a basket of deplorables. Not even worthy to be heard. Well, what comes with that? Ultimately, discrimination, imprisonment, or worse. I'm not trying to freak you out here about something that couldn't happen. I'm telling you, that's on the horizon if these people are able to continue to dominate the culture wars. We'll be back in a moment with more.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
It's the worst of circumstances for small business owners in big cities. First, blue state governors and mayors ordered the mom-and-pop stores to shut down. It was the only way to stop the virus, they said. Then many of those very stores were hit by looters, pillaged and plundered on live national television, the police nowhere to be found. By and large, small business owners have been abandoned by government leaders, and many have decided to take measures into their own hands. In Philadelphia, several dozen large men stood guard outside Target. And in Cleveland, Ohio, a heavily armed Italian family stopped looters from burning down Corbo's bakery. Mrs. Corbo telling reporters the rioters came at the family with rocks and baseball bats. So let's cut to the chase here. These business owners pay taxes, a lot of taxes, and they expect certain services in return, not the least of which is police protection, especially when anarchists are burning down your city. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
You may remember we were talking before the break. We're going to go to our guest in just a moment, but before the break we were talking about how you tear down a group of people's humanity. And then you're able to do anything you want to them because they're not worthy of protection or of equal rights or even constitutional rights in America. And that's what the political progressive movement in this country, not all of them, okay, not all of them, but if you peel back the facade, what they want to do, they are humanist, okay? Basically, they're secular humanist. They go under the political name progressive, but they don't believe in God Almighty,
no.
The God of the Bible. They do. They reject Him and His commandments and His morality. And so, what they want to do ultimately is get rid of the people who do. That's what they want to do. Now, to one degree or another, I doubt many, if you surveyed secular progressives in this country, they'd want to kill us. They probably wouldn't want concentration camps for us. Or at least, but I'm just saying, you keep on dehumanizing people, you do. It does lead to mass discrimination and persecution. And persecution often takes the form of physical, right?
When you use the phrase dehumanized group of people.
Yeah.
That's happened in our recent history,
right?
Not. I'm talking about the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the Jewish people. What
yeah.
Happened?
You dehumanize people. This is the history of the world, as I mentioned. I could give you many examples here.
Mm-hmm.
that group begins to be subject to persecution.
Yes.
So I'm just going to give you, when Hillary Clinton says that the people that support Donald Trump are a basket of deplorables, mm-hmm. what do you do with deplorables? Okay? Mm. When President Obama said, when he was running for office, he was caught, he was doing a legitimate radio interview with a local radio guy, and he was asking about people who supported Republican candidates, or maybe John McCain at the time, or Mitt Romney. Anyway, he said, these are people who cling to their guns and their religion.
And their Bibles.
Mm-hmm. And their Bibles.
Yeah, the guns and their Bibles.
The guns and their Bibles. So what he was saying was that these are stupid people who believe in Santa Claus, and they carry guns around, and they're dangerous people, and they need to be subjugated. Mm-hmm. That's code. Mm-hmm. What he said was code for what I just described.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I'm just saying that it's dangerous what these secular progressives are doing, and it goes completely contrary to our Constitution. Mm-hmm. It would deny the First Amendment rights. That's why a lot of these people don't believe in the First Amendment of free speech rights anymore. They believe in shutting you down.
Yep.
They're not classic liberals who believe in your, the old expression, I may disagree with your what you say, but I'll defend your right to say it.
Right. Mm.
Secular progressives don't do that. Mm. They say, my message is right, and I'm going to shut yours down because you don't deserve to be heard, you Nazi.
Right.
That's right. That's how they come at things. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're up against. That's what President Trump is up against politically. That's mm-hmm. the tip of the spear right there. They want to bring him down in November mm-hmm. because then they can get to us.
Yep.
The deplorables.
Frank Turek once said this. He said, President Trump has been the bully who protects us from the other bullies.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, that was a good way to describe it, his presidency. So we could talk more about this later. We got other topics to cover. But first of all, once a year or so, we have our guest, Carrie and Stacy Stolting, sisters from the great state of Iowa. And they are founders of a very patriotic group called Unite the USA. And Carrie and Stacy join us from the Hawkeye State. I believe that's where they are today. Carrie, you first. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And yes, you're right. It's the Hawkeye State.
And Stacy, you there?
Yes. Thank you so much for having us on. It's exciting to bring a positive Christian message right now. As you were just so aptly pointing out so many things that with which we agree. But it's exciting to focus on veterans right now, too, and share God's love with them. So okay. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Well, Carrie, are you twin sisters?
Well, we're 2 years apart, and I'm the younger one. So
okay, that's Carrie,
people
right?
People think we're twins. Yes, that's Carrie here. So okay. Yeah, but they think we're twins, and we certainly sound a lot alike, especially on the phone. And
right.
And so.
Well, Carrie, why don't you tell us what Unite the USA is?
Oh, thank you. Yes, Unite the USA is our outreach to encourage veteran appreciation and positive patriotism. My sister and I, we believe that it's so important to give credit where credit is due, because where would we be today without our veterans and our servicemen and women? And, of course, military families. So we believe it's so important to honor them and to help other Americans learn ways to honor them. And that's why we created Unite the USA. UniteTheUSA.org is the website. We have monthly editions through email that are free and that are helpful. in educating others about our heroes and other topics, similar topics. So we're very excited about our outreach and the ways it's been making an impact. So.
Okay. Well, Stacy, yes. what gave you, you this idea to do this?
Well, you know, this has extended out nice little ways for us. I know we're young, but this has been going on a little while.
How old are you?
Well, I'll leave that to mystery. But we're
millennials.
You
just said you were young. I was going to judge that.
Okay. What I'm saying is we've been at this since for years now, and we're both Carrie just graduated. She's an optometry out of optometry, so she's a doctor now, and I'm going to be a doctor too. So we've been working at all of our projects pretty hard, and I started when I wrote a book when I was 15. About my Christian grandparents' lives in the fight with Alzheimer's disease. And then it started a national outreach, received national attention, thanked for President George W. Bush, and then also President Trump. But in the mix of all this, we witnessed a fatal accident in which we prayed with the man to receive Christ as he bled to death. And I wrestled with some aspects of PTSD, not the anger part, but, flashbacks and such. And we became acutely aware of the magnitude of sacrifice of all those who came home in addition to those who never came home.
Yeah.
And so we started reaching out, we started educating and activating fellow patriots to really share the positive message, not just respond to the negative, but to share what we have in Christ, what we have in our country. And so that's Unite the USA.
Okay.
And this right now we're doing a virtual parade for veterans, and it's been exciting because so many parades have been sadly canceled this year, and that's when a lot of veterans get recognized. So we're excited about our virtual parade of veterans right now, and we're really happy that you have had us on because it's been really exciting, the response of how much veterans appreciate it. So,
well, we've posted a link at our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page, to
thank
the minute. UniteTheUSA.org, UniteTheUSA.org. Carrie and Stacy Stolting, our guests, are sisters and they're founders of this organization that honors our veterans. And in many ways, you can check out their website. And listen, keep up the good work, and we appreciate your patriotism and loving on our veterans, carrying and bringing attention to them, especially this time of the year, when we're July 4th, celebrate
exactly.
The birth of America. So
Exactly. So we're just seeking to, overcome evil with good and give tribute where tribute is due.
Amen.
So if people want to send their pictures of their heroes to us at unitetheusa.org, then we will feature that veteran in our virtual parade. So
really?
I wish we had more time. Yeah.
Okay, well, just real quickly, tell us about that, the virtual parade. So if I send in a picture of my family member or my friend that's a veteran, yes. you'll put them on there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And in the
we're going to have them.
You're talking over one another. Have you ever done
Sorry.
That before?
Sorry. Go ahead, Carrie. Go ahead, Carrie.
Okay. So we have our virtual parade that's going to be, we're going to make it into an online musical video the weekend of July 4th. So if you send us your veteran loved one's picture to info@unitetheusa.org, send us their name and picture and any other information about their service. And we will include that in our virtual parade. We'll also post the pictures and tributes on our website and, of course, Unite the USA's social media. So there are multiple ways to honor the veterans in your life. And so it's very important to us to honor them, especially this year with everything that's been happening. So
So would love to hear from your listeners about this.
Well, Carrie and Stacy, thanks so much for being on with us. We wish you the best, and we thank you for your caring about our country and our veterans.
Oh, thank you. What a blessing you are.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
God bless you. Have a great day. And again, they're at unitetheusa.org, right? It's on our Facebook page, too. Today's Issues Facebook page. Unite the USA. What a great ministry that is. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So, Fred, face mask or no face mask? Where do you come down?
I'm for freedom. I'm for freedom of choice when it comes to face masks.
So you're saying you don't care about other people?
Well, it's my choice in environment. If I was to go into a nursing home, I would wear a face mask. Mm-hmm. I would.
Right.
But please don't ask me to wear a face mask as I drive down a street or I walk on a sidewalk.
Or you're on the beach.
Or I'm on the beach.
Right.
Please. What about going in stores and stuff? Going to the grocery store.
Well, again, I mean, I just think that's a matter of choice.
Yeah.
If you're nervous about that kind of environment, then go ahead and wear the face mask. But
don't
make
go.
Me do that.
Walker?
Yeah, I think
do you care about your fellow citizens or not?
I think private businesses have the right to require face mask if they want, just like they require you to wear a T-shirt. I think it's overreach for mayors and governors to force the wearing of mask, or there's a fine or a ticket involved.
So you're okay with mayors or governors saying we highly recommend?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Yep. But don't try to use the force of the law to make people wear face masks if they don't want to.
Yeah, I've never heard any in American history where it's one thing to have to buy car insurance, but to force someone to wear something on their person, I've never heard of that with any scenario. Yeah, this is unprecedented, but it's not really because we've had illnesses before.
You know, like Walker says, a private business, like if you go on an airline right now, most airlines in the country, they say they want you to wear a face mask.
Well, you're in really close, and I understand that, you're in really close proximity.
Yes.
To somebody. I'm talking about within 2 or 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that, and I'm not a face mask. I haven't worn a face mask yet, maybe one time somewhere. In Mississippi, we haven't been under a lot of pressure to do this where we live. But I voluntarily wear a face mask. Of course, they won't let you on the airplane. But if I have to fly somewhere, and I'm going to have to in a couple of months, then I want to put on a face mask because I'm going to be within 2 or 3 feet of several
time.
People for a couple of hours. So I understand that. But this pressure to wear face mask. I was watching almost everybody in the medical community says that even though they may be promoting face masks, they also say that social distancing serves the same purpose, or even a greater purpose.
Yeah,
to stay 5-6 feet away from people, which I make sure I do. For the most part, you can't do that absolutely, at least and live a normal life. And don't go out if you're sick. You know,
right.
I just wondered where you guys came down on the face mask.
Yeah, if people want to wear a face mask, that's up to them. That's their choice. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with people wearing masks.
Mm-hmm. The other day, I saw two people walking down the street. Well, it wasn't even the street. It was a country road. And they were wearing face masks. They were exercising, walking down the road. A country road with you don't even see anybody.
No,
but they were wearing face masks. I was going what?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
What gets me is a single person in a car, the driver. There's nobody else in the car.
Yeah.
They're in their own car. They're driving, and they got a face mask.
Oh, so let's be honest. More than half of our fellow citizens, even those wearing face masks, don't even know how to wear them. And I'm no expert, but I can sure. You can tell the people who, you see these people, even employees of businesses, And they don't want to be wearing them.
No.
So what do? They pull them down below their nose.
Yes.
Right.
Which defeats the purpose of having the face mask, but I think they're compelled to by their employer
right.
until their boss tells them, hey, pull it up over your nose. it's just, huh?
Yeah, and the increased face touching that comes with a mask, people adjust them all the time.
That's true.
They pull them up and down all day long. You've just touched your face three times more than you would have without a mask.
I know.
That's where you get infected is when you're touching doorknobs and buggies at the grocery store.
And then touch your face, your nose, your mouth, or your ears, or your eyes.
To adjust your mask, yes. Yes.
Mm.
So I think honestly, washing of hands, and this is not a new thing, but I mean, all doctors will say washing your hands is one of the best ways to not get
social distancing and washing your hands. But even so, guys, and we were talking about this at our meeting earlier this morning. By the way, you can send us an email, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net, if you'd like to. But, Parker, we were talking about this, Fred, at a meeting we were having earlier this morning. The numbers of hospitalizations and deaths due to COVID-19 do not seem to me, I know some of this is subjective, did not seem to me to merit the keep closing down our country, keep it closed down where that is happening.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. I don't know that there's any data or science behind everybody staying at the house and that's going to make things better. Yeah, because they're still going to go to the grocery store. They're going to go to Lowe's. They're going to go to Walmart.
But you can't go on doing that forever. I don't even care if people do. I do care, but I don't care if people. That sounds bad. Even if people get sick, you can't go on hiding under your bed for years on end.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point.
Until the virus goes away, because it's not going away.
Yeah, no, this is a virus. It's going to spread throughout the population until everyone's had it, and then it's going to keep circling back, just like the influenza does. It'll take different strains. But the idea that we're going to stop the COVID spread is insane. Nobody's ever been able to stop the spread of a virus. You may can slow it down, maybe, but stopping it is an unattainable goal.
Listen, there's a couple of motivations, I think. There's a motivation right now by the left to create as much chaos as possible. Please understand.
To affect the November election.
Yes. Right. There is a political agenda behind some of this.
Okay.
Number two, what you have right now is an increase in some areas of the country, not in all, but in some areas of the country, you've had an uptick in cases, not an uptick in deaths, an uptick in cases, and mostly amongst younger people. So put all of this in context. Very interesting. White House spokesman Kayleigh McEnany was asked about this morning. The White House response to this latest headlines out there, an uptick in cases. It's cut number three.
We've entered a different phase of this disease. We've entered a phase where we do have therapeutics that are working, like remdesivir. We secured 500,000 treatments of that, course treatments, as confirmed by Secretary Azar this morning. We've entered a place where we're catching people in the community, not in the hospitals at late stages. So we're at a place where we can handle the cases that we're seeing. The president's always said there will be embers, but he's always said that the cure cannot be worse than the problem.
The cure cannot be worse than the problem. And I think what she is saying there, we cannot do what we did 3-4 months ago, shut down the whole country, the country's economy.
Did you see where the American Pediatric
Association?
Is that what it was?
American Association of Pediatrics. Yeah.
You might look that up. Now, that's a large professional group, obviously having to do with child health care, right? Basically, doctors, they recommended that all kids go back to school in August.
Yeah.
In person.
Mm-hmm.
Because children don't get this. And if they do get it, it doesn't bother them. Mm-hmm. Now, you may find one or two cases here or there, but I'm talking about by and large, and they don't transmit it to other people.
Yeah. Also, the effect of
Am I right?
That's a good assessment. The also another effect of keeping schools closed is the effect on the economy that a lot of people don't think about. But parents have to have childcare to go to work. I mean, many moms now work. Both parents work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and you keep the schools closed down. Number one, kids are either going to be at home by themselves, or the parents are going to have to quit their jobs, mm-hmm. which is going to hurt the economy. So schools play a vital role,
Think about this, guys. We already had half of the semester canceled in the spring mm-hmm. for school. Now, obviously, I know there are a lot of people listening who homeschool their children, and this did not affect them. But I'm talking about for the majority of a vast majority of Americans who don't homeschool, although homeschooling is growing, it probably will grow exponentially now. Mm-hmm. But still, kids who didn't have the advantage of homeschooling or kept up online, I've heard that was a nightmare. I don't have small children, but I've heard people who tried to do that. It just doesn't work very well. I'm talking about having 3 or 4 kids at home all trying to do online classes.
Yeah, I've heard that's a nightmare,
too. It just doesn't work. No. So, I'm talking about if the kids who missed half the semester last spring, and now if you're going to tell parents they can't come to school normally this fall, well, think about the academic ramifications of that. The testing, kids are going to fall behind, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to really be qualifying for advancing the next grade because they haven't been tested enough to know whether they are deserving of that. Mm-hmm. You add that to millions of children who are from disadvantaged homes that don't have access to high-speed internet, or don't have any structure in their home to begin with.
And you got to think about the meals that all the schools provide, the lunch meals.
Yeah. I mean, I just think if you're talking about not having school in a normal way in the fall, again, the point being that the cure is worse than the disease, mm-hmm. I think you have to look at that very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if the American Academy of Pediatrics, is that what it's called? Yeah. Did you look that up?
Yeah, I think it's, I'll look up the official name.
Look up the official name because I want to get it right. They're advocating that kids go on to school mm-hmm. this fall.
Yeah, the American Association of American Academy of Pediatrics.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues, Fred. We got about a minute left here. what do you got good for us, Fred?
Hypocrisy. Minneapolis City Council. They not only want to defund the police department, they want to get rid of the police department. Remember what they talked about, one of their leaders back, they proposed this about 3 weeks ago? They said, we should be sending social workers out when someone calls 911.
Yeah.
Well, apparently when it comes to their own safety, none of this applies.
Why, Fred?
The taxpayers of Minneapolis have spent $63,000 in the last 3 weeks to provide private security for the members of the Minneapolis City Council.
Wait a minute. These people are defunding the police.
But not they defunding, want, but they disbanding.
Want, but they want the government to pay for their own security
personal security.
Detail.
Yeah.
It was a unanimous vote to defund the police by the Minneapolis City Council.
It sure was.
Well, they're going to have to face their voters soon, and if the... I'm still having a hard time believing the citizens of Minneapolis are going to go for no police.
Yeah. Right.
I really do.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a minute. Thank you, Fred.
All right. You're welcome.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of Today's Issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.